A dozen. Mission.
You're listening to This Week in Radio News. Radio news about radio waves, radio art, and more. I'm Tom Rowe, your host, and we'll travel across the ether to hear what's going on in radio news. On this week's edition of This Week in Radio News, we're going to tune into Federal Communications Commissioner Tom Wheeler's press conference after the January 28th FCC open meeting. We're also going to tune in the new record broadcast from Daniel Thomas, some transmission art from Cherry Row Records in England. We'll also hear brand new music from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band, and some radio headlines. Let's go to the radio headlines first. The Guardian reports that nearly 300,000 radio-controlled drones have been registered in the United States since the Federal Aviation Administration started requiring owners to tell the government they have a drone beginning on December 21st, 2015. Now, small unmanned aircraft weighing between 250 grams and 25 kilograms must be registered and pilots must be aged 13 or older. FAA Administrator Michael Herta said, quote, "The registration numbers we're seeing so far are very encouraging. We're working hard to build on this early momentum and ensure everyone understands the registration requirement," unquote. Since January 21st, there's been a $5 registration fee. Drones must be marked and with a registration number so they can be identified if there's a problem. The industry was expecting 1 million drones would be sold in the U.S. in 2015, which would mean only a third are registered so far. The evil plots of superhero movies are beginning to become reality around the world. On December 23rd, Ukraine claims computer hackers caused blackouts across the Ivano-Frankivsk region, perhaps using so-called black energy malware to disrupt the local energy provider. Ukraine believed Russia was behind the attack. Now this week, Israel's electricity authority was hacked, though no electricity delivery was disrupted. Quote, "The virus was already identified and the right software was already prepared to neutralize it," unquote, Israeli Energy Minister Yuval Steinitz told the Times of Israel on January 26th. Quote, "We had to paralyze many of the computers of the Israeli electricity authority. We are handling the situation and I hope that soon this very serious event will be over. But as of now, computer systems are still not working as they should," unquote. Israel did not point fingers at suspects, but it is clear there is all sorts of state-sponsored terrorism going on the information superhighway. Here's the first track from Daniel Thomas's album Broadcast, just out in 2016 on Cherry Row Recordings. First track is This Is Radio Freedom.
This is Radio Freedom. Every day, more and more of us are being sent to the camps. More and more of us disappear or die. The government calls us traitors or deviants because we oppose its ideology. And then it tries to wipe us out because we believe that we have the right to be ourselves. Then it justifies its policies by talking of work ethic, community obedience, social conformity. But what it's really saying is accept slavery or die. The time has come to fight back.
Next, on Thursday, January 28th, Federal Communications Commissioner Tom Wheeler gave his press conference after the FCC's monthly open meeting, and he talked about cable TV box reform that's coming next month and the cable television industry's resistance to the proposal.
Rather than use this opportunity to give my usual recap of what we did today, I'd like to give a preview of next month's meeting. As you all know, today I will circulate a proposal for consideration at next month's meeting to introduce competition and spur innovation in the set-top box marketplace. So let's just review a little bit of the bidding on this. 99% of pay TV customers lease set-top boxes from their cable, satellite, or telco provider. There is no competitive market, and that reality is explicitly contrary to statutory mandate. On average, consumers are paying $231 a year to rent those boxes. Collectively, about $20 billion a year. And by the way, did I mention they have no competitive choice when it comes to that situation? And according to a recent analysis submitted for the record, over the past 20 years, the cost of cable television set-top boxes has risen 185%, while the cost of computers, televisions, and mobile phones has dropped 80%. And I'll share with you, this was the chart that Public Knowledge and Consumer Federation of America appended to their submission. And as you say, one's going up and one's going down. And one is not competitive and one is competitive. You can reach your own conclusions. But consumers drew their conclusion long ago. Immediately after you all started writing about this, I started getting emails, and I just thought I'd share with you a couple of the emails. I appreciate anything you can do to help lower cable bills. As a widow, my income is reduced. I cut down to the lowest tier of programs, even though I could no longer get some favorites. I have purchased the modem router to cut back on the newly increased rate the cable company charged, presumably for broadband is what that references to. I had asked if there were a way I could purchase the adapters, the set-top boxes, and was told no. Another email, I just read the article in USA Today about your intentions to open the set-top boxes now required by all cable companies to view their programming. I've always thought this was a consumer ripoff, and I applaud you and your continued push to get this done for consumers. Having to lease these boxes for multiple TVs in your residence with no other options is not right. No other options. Dear Chairman Wheeler, I was just writing to express my support for the proposal to change set-top box rules. It had always boggled my mind how a cable company could design and encrypt their system so that not only did I have to pay a monthly fee for service, but I was also required to pay a monthly fee for them to for equipment to access that service. I can understand paying extra for DVR boxes or other premium features, but having to pay more money to access a service I was already paying for is unbelievable. So the bottom line here is the American people get it. When it comes to set-top boxes, they have no meaningful options. They are literally paying the price for this lack of alternatives. And Americans understand the benefits of competition, competition, competition. When the FCC required phone companies to open their networks to non-Bell phones, what happened? Functionality went up, prices went down. When wireless companies began unlocking phones so that consumers could take advantage of competition, it was the same story again. Competition is as American as apple pie. Congress directed there should be competition in the set-top box marketplace. And today we begin the process to deliver on that congressional commitment. Let the innovators create and let the consumers choose. So with that, I'll be happy to respond to any questions you might have. We're going to start with John.
Thanks. John McKinnon from the Wall Street Journal. Can you respond to the concern that the cable and satellite industries are raising that basically this is going to somehow undermine their contractual rights in general, and that relates to advertising and subscriptions and lots of other things that they cover in their contracts?
Nothing in this changes the programming business practices of cable operators. This is all about whether the standard for set-top boxes should be a closed standard or an open standard. Nothing changes the way cable operators do their tiering, do their pricing, do their bundling, and other kind of contractual relationships they enter into. Sir.
Thanks. So these cable companies, they obviously came out in force against this. What kind of pushback are you expecting, and how quickly do you think this rule can be finalized and go into effect?
Oh, I'm sure that we will have a fulsome debate on it. The rule, the proposal comes out hopefully 18th of next month. We'll go through the formal APA process, and we'll see where that leads us. Dave.
Dave Sherwinson with Reuters. You mentioned a couple times that the set-top boxes have gone up 185% while the other devices have declined substantially. Do you think the cable companies are using the devices to inflate their profits? And, you know, can you also respond to this suggestion that this might hurt minority channels or, you know, have security concerns, you know, by the cable companies?
Well, there's a bunch of things in there. So, I mean, yeah. First of all, I mean, I think that this is a reflection of the fact there's no choice. So I don't know about anything else, but there's no choice.
Now it's something new with zero rating. And I was curious if the FCC has met, even on background, with all four major wireless carriers to discuss their zero rating policies, and if the FCC has any plans, if you have any plans to bring a proposal forward on zero rating, specifically before your chairmanship is over.
We want to meet with them for the purpose of informing ourselves and hear from others as well as to what's going on. Verizon, with their new announcement, obviously is part of that. And beyond that, it would be entirely presumptive. I mean, I think a significant thing to know is this is being handled at the bureau level. I'm not at these meetings. Nobody from the office of the chairman is at these meetings. It's gathering information, and we'll see what happens from there. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, thank you. Regarding the filings for the reverse auction, have the number of reverse auction applications that the SEC received borne out your prediction of a spectrum extravaganza that you made at CES? I'm sure you remember that.
So I didn't make that prediction. You'll recall, Lynn, I actually used that statement after the window had closed. You know, the reality of those applications is that they have been yet to be reviewed. And we have a team of people working on that, and I'm sure they'll be working back and forth with the broadcasters. The broadcasters have an opportunity, excuse me, up until the 29th of March, which happens to be 61 days from today, for those of you keeping score, to say, I changed my mind. I don't want to do anything. And so, you know, we're just watching how that process develops. David?
I'm curious. Some have suggested, I believe Commissioner Rosenworcel did, that perhaps the Commission could release aggregate data on the number of reverse auction applications, and I'm wondering what you think of that, and if you don't think it's a good idea,
why not? So
it's
kind of
the
answer that I gave Lynn. I mean, it's aggregate of nothing right now, because they're unreviewed, and they still have the ability to change their minds. So it's, you know, which is why I tried to use the word extravaganza, which is to say, hey, yeah, there was a real show-up.
But I clearly other people think this is not, and it wouldn't be an aggregate of nothing. So I guess I'm curious kind of what the justification is.
I think it would be an aggregate of nothing.
Okay.
So,
Brian.
On the set-top box issue, what gives you the confidence that the cable industry isn't going to use the standards-setting process to disadvantage competitive entrants?
Because the standard-setting process, if you have an open standard-setting process, as I say, it's worked for cell phones, it's worked for Wi-Fi, it's worked for Bluetooth, it's worked for routers, it's worked for, you know, name it. If you have an open process, it becomes self-regulatory, if you will, to make sure that it's participatory. And one of the things is that, you know, we're going to say, yeah, it has to be an open process. It can't be this closed process.
Hi there, Chairman David Hatch, Policy and Regulatory Report.
Hello, David.
Yesterday, Media General and Nexstar on their conference call, they said that the FCC won't allow broadcast mergers to close while the incentive auction is underway. And my question is, would you consider waiving that restriction for this deal and any others held up by the auction?
Oh, I think that the problem is that it's going to take a lot longer for this just to get through the normal process than the auction would take. I mean, it's an interesting academic point, but probably irrelevant.
But if a deal were potentially held up by the auction, would you consider at least a waiver, at least for an individual transaction?
If it potentially rains tomorrow and all of the snow floods 12th Street, would I consider closing the FCC? It's the same kind of a hypothetical. What I'm saying is I think the facts of the matter are that, I mean, this was, they just worked out the situation in the last day or two. It will be a process through that. We will go through the normal process here. We're not going to just sit on our hands while
sure.
There's an auction going on, and that process naturally takes time. It'll probably be at the end of the auction.
Could I just ask, when do you anticipate that the incentive auction could potentially end? What's the time frame that we're looking at?
When there are no more bidders.
Are we talking weeks, months?
When there are no more bidders.
But do you have any sense of what the time frame could
David,
be?
David, I think it'll end when there are no more bidders. This is this is a market that we're running.
Monty Talo, Comm Daily. I actually went to every DSTAC meeting, sadly, and there was a lot of concern. There was a lot of concern expressed by people on the cable MVPD side that a lot of what's in the proposal that ended up being proposed is not technically feasible right now. There were some concerns about IP delivery and that a lot of it, they use the term vaporware sometimes to describe some of those proposals. Is what you guys are proposing technically feasible right now?
Yes, and let's go back again in history. Let's go back to the Olvid proposal. Everybody wants to keep characterizing this as Olvid, which it is not. Olvid was in 2010. It was about 2011 that smart TVs became mainstream. And what's in a smart TV? It's software, sometimes hardware and software, that performs a set-top box-like function of providing copyright protection, link security, and various rights authorization. I think that demonstrates the fact that it is possible to do those kind of things other than via the closed standard administered by the cable industry of cable card. Thank you, everybody.
This next song is brand new from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band's forthcoming The Rarity of Experience. This is High Castle Rock.
Thank you.
You've been listening to This Week in Radio News. That was Chris Forsyth and the Solar Motel Band with High Castle Rock from forthcoming record The Rarity of Experience. Earlier we heard This is Radio Freedom from Daniel Thomas and his new record Broadcast. We also heard Federal Communications Commissioner Tom Wheeler and his press conference at the January 28th FCC open meeting. I'm Tom Rowe for Wavefarm Radio and WGXC. The preceding show was recorded at Wavefarm's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.